Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
To save his life, call his wife.
And hey, 404. Big Monica here with you on this Monday morning.
Nothing to do. It's
baseball free agency is about to start. We're waiting now about 13 hours away from the deadline on what the Yankees will do with Gerrit Cole. We've spent the last hour talking about that. Obviously, Juan Soto and the impending war between the Yankees and Mets that we're waiting for is on the precipice. And of course, we spent a lot on the New York Giants. We opened up the show with the Giants as they fell to the Commanders 27-22 in another game that looked exactly like a million other games that the Giants play. And yes, Daniel Jones, for all you Daniel Jones defenders, hear me good and hear me now. Yes, he was not the reason they lost this game. I hope everyone feels better. I hope we can all go home, wake up this morning knowing that Daniel Jones wasn't the reason they lost. That's great. I feel good about it. He's also never the reason they win. And now at 2-7, after losing a game to the Commanders and being swept by them over the course of this season, and now are by far the worst team in the division, where for years at least the Commanders were there every once in a while for that pick-me-up victory to take care of Washington, the Redskins, the Commanders, the football team, whichever one you want to call them, at least once a year, most of the time twice a year, they were always there to make you feel a little bit better. As you were getting trounced by the Cowboys and getting blown out by the Eagles, at least you could say, hey, we're not the worst team in the division. We're not the most dysfunctional team in the division. Well, now they did just enough losing last year while the Giants went about winning games with Tommy DeVito. Just great victories against Green Bay. Great victories against New England. Great victory the last game of the year against the Eagles. Just really fun wins that I remember so much about and I'll always treasure. While the Giants were doing that, the Commanders were hitting rock bottom. They got a new owner finally. And they got themselves a quarterback in Jaden Daniels, who has taken the league by storm and has now beaten the Giants in both times they've played, has led this Commanders team to 7-2, and is building something special there with belief and, you know, his rookie contract and the ability to build around him. And they look like the team of the future, and it's them and the Eagles in this division as the Cowboys continue to suck. And the Giants are there at 2-7 yet again, waiting for the season to be over. And make no mistake, it's over. And watching this game and how they play, like, again, not Daniel Jones' fault, but he makes just enough mistakes. He has the critical mistake of the interception of the fumble early on in the game. They score 22 points. Yes, we went over the situation with the two-point conversions. You want to call me on that, you can. I know that people like to talk about it. 888-808-1019. After scoring touchdowns, they go for two down 14 with the first touchdown. They're incapable of getting a two-point conversion. But this needs to finally be the end. Like, I can't watch Daniel Jones play quarterback anymore, even if it's not the reason they lose. He's never the reason they win. And watching his touchdown run yesterday is the prime example, because the one thing that can't happen this year is Daniel Jones to get hurt, finish the year on IR, and have his contract guaranteed for next year. And if you watch him, the one thing that I will never, ever say bad about Daniel Jones, I will never, as much as I'll question everything about him, I'll question his mental makeup, I'll question his ability to throw the ball down the field, I'll question his fear in making mistakes, his jumpiness inside the pocket, I'll question a lot about Daniel Jones. I will never question his physical toughness. This guy doesn't bow down. He never slides. He looks for contact, and he took on a defensive end to get into the end zone. I mean, ate contact and kept moving on. He is a tough son of a gun, and that's what I'm afraid of, because he takes on contact, and he's already had a neck injury, a knee injury. He's good for an ankle injury a season. Like, this guy gets hurt all the time. He plays with reckless abandon, and with the Giants in a 2-7 season needing to move on from Daniel Jones, they can't have him hurt. This all needs to end today. And honestly, the whole, and I know we talk about, when we talk about tank, well, the players don't tank and the coaches don't coach the tank. Well, I'll say this. If Brian Daboll did get that vote of confidence and Joe Shane has the guarantee, or at least the security from this owner, that they are not going to move on at the end of this year, then it is time to do what all teams do when they tank and sell off everyone. You've got Aziz Ojulari, who's done a good job getting after the pass, after the quarterback this year. He's not going to be part of the team next year. Trade him. You could trade Slayton if he's healthy now. I know he's dealing with a concussion protocol. Like, move everyone who is not a part of this team next year. Bench the quarterback. And move into the Super Bowl next week and make sure you lose out in Germany to the Carolina Panthers and go about blowing this whole thing up, because I can't take it anymore. I can't watch it anymore. I can't take it anymore. And if you think that the Giants are better served having some sort of moral victories down the stretch and showing this coach can coach and the quarterback can play and whatever else, you are nuts. It is time to end this thing once and for all. And if they want to fire the coach, I'm fine with it. If they want to fire the GM, I'm fine with it. I don't know how, like, you could say that they're untouchable. This coach took over the offense, made it a point, grabbed the bull by the horns, took over the play calling. They're scoring less points than any team in the NFL. It's as bad as it gets. They look inept in two-point conversions. They have the strategy of going for two-point conversions. They can't convert them. It looks like they don't even have a play designed. I mean, there is nothing worse than being where the Giants are, where half the time they're miserable and getting blown out, and the other half they find ways to frustrate you and lose a game that they're right in. Like, that's all that ever happens with the Giants. Except once the season's dead, then they get plucky and find ways to win games. Enough of that. End this thing. 888-808-1019. And then the Yankees and Gerrit Cole, the deadline, 5 p.m. tonight to pick up Cole's final year on his contract, or add a final year to his contract to avoid this opt-out, which is exactly what the Yankees need to do. Gerrit Cole needs to be a Yankee. I know there are thoughts, hey, he's 34. Hey, that contract's going to look bad at the end of it. He's coming off elbow injury. They didn't win with him. I don't think he'd get that contract in free agency. Starting pitching has been on decline in Major League Baseball. The bullpens are far more important. Guys don't go more than five or six innings. All of those things would make sense to me, other than they need an ace. And you watched him going into the series. A lot of us, I know myself, Evan Roberts, we viewed Gerrit Cole as the X factor in the series, as someone who does something that the Dodgers don't have, a starting pitcher who can go deep into the game. And you saw him throw 107 pitches, go deep into the game in Game 5, and still throw 97, 98 in his last inning after that fifth inning where he threw 40 damn pitches. He is still arguably the most dependable starting pitcher in the game. He's a year removed from a Cy Young. He's the ace of this Yankees staff. He's the de facto pitching coach. He's the leader of the team. They cannot allow him to leave, because I don't know what the options are if he does. Go out there and sign Corbin Burns. I don't know if they can or they will. And if they do, I don't know if he can pitch in New York. Yeah, he's a couple years younger. But Gerrit Cole is a proven commodity, and he's been great for the New York Yankees. And I'll take a terrible contract by the end. I need him for the next couple years, because I still believe he can be at the top of the game of the sport as a starting pitcher. And I still believe that Judge is the top hitter in the sport. And as long as you have those two, hopefully Juan Soto included, but as long as you have those two, you have a window to win. Without him, I don't know what this team looks like. The Yankees don't have much of a choice. There's different ways to get there. They can give him that last year. They can work out some new contract with deferred money and make things easier for the Yankees. And maybe Cole gets a pay raise in some way. They save some money on the luxury tax. they defer some money, that would be great. And I think that's, I think Cole should look to do that, to get back into the good graces of this fan franchise and of this fan base after not covering first base in that fifth inning. That would be great. It would help them sign Juan Soto, blah, blah, blah. He would be the man. Everybody would love him. Everybody would forgive him. He would be a major contributor to helping this team win next year. Or you could let him hit free agency, see what he gets, and match it. One of those three options need to happen for the New York Yankees because they need Gerrit Cole. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
I don't think we're ever going to get the same good, great Cole again, but you got him at 25-26 is the only thing we have to sign him for, right? 25-26?
Yeah. Oh, what are you talking about?
The extension on Coley.
To the, what do you mean 25-26?
What years? Like if we give
him it's another 5 years. So it'd be 25, 26, 27, 28, 29.
All right, so I was right then. I don't want him. I don't want to sign him.
You have to.
I know we have to, Chris, but I feel like why don't we just try and go young? Why don't we just figure out a way to just get rid of the high priced people? Look at the guys on the, what's his name, on the Mets. One of the announcers doesn't want Soto on the Mets. He believes that
Ron Darling.
Darling says he believes that's not the way to win in Major League Baseball.
Well, I mean, I find that funny considering the Dodgers spent $1 billion in the offseason and just won the World Series.
Almost facetious. He's almost being funny. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me by him saying that. I think maybe he's trying to help negotiate.
No, I mean, I think he thinks that the Mets are a pretty damn good team now, and they do have a lot of money to spend, and you can put a lot of money into a bunch of different places to fix a bunch of different holes as opposed to putting all the money into one player. I think that I understand the logic, but I'm just saying the idea of you don't need stars in this league when literally the super team that went out and got Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, I mean, and have three Hall of Famers at the top of their lineup, just won the World Series. So, I understand Cole's going to be here for a while, and maybe the back end of the contract looks bad. Of course, that's definitely a possibility. I don't think they have a choice. You want to go young? Go young where? Young in the rotation? Okay, see how it gets you. The Mets didn't have a rotation. They signed Severino. They signed Minaya. They had Quintana. David Peters came up, like, they got immense, like, everything went right. You're telling me you go into this rotation next year with that, well, who are you going to sign? You're going to have to sign somebody. What do you think Burns is going to get? What do you think Snell is going to get? What do you think Fried is going to get? You think they're not going to get money? And none of those guys can prove they can pitch for the New York Yankees. None of them. I don't think the Yankees have a choice. It's going to get ugly at the back end, like so many contracts do. The Judge contract will get ugly at the back end. They're going to have to figure it out. They need Gerrit Cole. Jimmy in Rockland, what's up, Jimmy?
Hey, C-Mac, two things.
Yes.
Will disrespectful Brett from Long Island call this morning?
He sometimes takes off Mondays because, something about his schedule. Yeah. But he'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And most likely he'll call about the Yankees and yell and give and try and tweak me with the Yankees and not talk about Daniel Jones.
Right, with all that madness in his mouth. All right, C-Mac, here's what I wanted to say
just
to you.
Just be careful, Jimmy, because he takes notes. You're going to be the next one.
Oh, yeah. He'll come hunt me down in my garbage truck.
Just shut your mouth, Jimmy.
Hey, listen, C-Mac, I don't see us being a caliber enough team to the Yankees to get back and win it. Look, since 1972, I looked it up, right? There's four teams, and we did it twice. The Oakland A's dynasty, Cincinnati Reds back-to-back, then us, then the Toronto Blue Jays, 92-93, and then our 98 Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't see us having that caliber to not only not get back, but to get back and win it, C-Mac.
Well, why
Your
not?
Your thoughts, man.
I don't know why not.
But look at those – because you look at those teams. And especially if we don't get Cole back.
They didn't win it. I mean, there have been teams that – like the Royals lost – in 14,
and
they came back in 15. Well, they lost in 14, came back in 15. There have been teams who lost and then got back. The Rangers went a couple times in a row and lost. It's not, again, who's better in the American League?
No, you're right. But again, we have to re-sign Cole and hopefully you know, Soto come back. C-Mac, thanks for taking the call, man. All right,
you got it, Jimmy. Look, I understand we're all down on the Yankees right now. They got embarrassed. The scouting report from the Dodgers hit the market. The Yankees have been laughed at. And listen, it bothers me as a Yankee fan. And maybe this is where, like, I differ than some Yankee fans. Like, I get annoyed. And I'm mad at the Yankees, too. But, like, the Yankees did just make the World Series. I do want to say, as frustrated as I am with them, and I am, and that inning was the biggest meltdown I've ever seen. And I don't put that on the organization or Boone or anybody else but the players. The players melted down on the field. He can't go out there and hold their hand or yell at them or hold them accountable. He can't go, after Judge dropped that ball, go grab him by the ear and drag him off the field. Like, he's got to make the play. Plain and simple. You got to cover first base. Volpe has to throw the ball to Jazz and give him a chance to make a catch. Bottom line. Bottom line. So as frustrated as I am, the decisions made in game one, the play by Torres in game one that led to the second sacrifice fly, all of it, I'm as frustrated as I am. The idea that the Yankees are, like, mocked to the level they're mocked now. Joe Kelly on the field laughing at them. The scouting report and all the reporters talking about it, the fans in an uproar, the idea that this was the easiest path in the history. They shouldn't have even been there. The Padres are better. The Phillies are better. The Mets are better. The Milwaukee Brewers are better. The Atlanta Braves are better. The Arizona Diamondbacks are better. The Colorado Rockies are better. Everyone in the National League is better. It's a joke the Yankees are even in the World Series. No World Series team has ever been mocked or laughed at like this. And I hope the Yankees are paying attention. I hope they're paying attention because they've been the butt of every joke over the last 5 days. And the fact of the matter is they were the second best team in the sport. You could say whatever you want. They didn't have to play the Mets. They didn't have to play the Padres. They didn't have to play the Phillies. They played who they played. They were one of the two final teams left in the sport. They're a World Series team. And if you look at the numbers in the series, they hit better, they pitched better, they hit better with runners in scoring position. They did everything better except they made critical mistakes and the Dodgers didn't. And that's enough. That's enough. That's enough to say the Dodgers outplayed them. I'm not saying otherwise, but they were right there with the Dodgers. I don't care how you know, Monday morning quarterbacky that sounds or desperate Yankee fan, chill that sounds. It's the truth. They were right there in every one of those games and they blew it. They blew two games, threw them away with both hands. And that's on them. But I hope they're paying attention to how much they're being mocked for being a World Series team. I hope they're paying attention to everybody laughing at them in the scouting report and the defensive shifts and the franchise and the organization and the fundamentals and everything else. The scouting report pretty much said, make the Yankees play baseball and they will fail. I hope everybody acknowledges that, and I hope everyone inside the Yankee organization acknowledges it, and all the players acknowledge it, including Aaron Judge, the captain of the team, who, because he dropped a pop-up, they are a laughingstock after a World Series appearance. And if they lose Juan Soto, the laughing won't stop, especially to the Mets. So I hope Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole, I hope they're all listening to what the narrative is right now. The narrative is they didn't belong. They were lucky to get there. And they're not good at baseball. That's the narrative following a World Series appearance. That should piss everybody off inside that organization. I don't know if it will. I think they'll laugh it off and say these people are idiots. But doesn't change perception. That's perception. You didn't belong, should have never been there. You got lucky you had to play the AL Central, who you beat up, and besides the Central, you don't beat anybody. You were lucky to be there. You're not very good at baseball. You can't field, you can't run. You don't hit in the clutch. And now you can't keep your star players as they're opting out and going to the Mets.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to wake up.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
As we're dealing with Daniel Jones, you watch Jaden Daniels do what he's doing. You watch Drake May and what he, the play he made, the late touchdown to force OT against the Titans. I mean, that play was just something else. I mean, the ability to, I know there wasn't much pressure on him, but I mean, he's back there for 15 seconds looking. Just as he's about to get sacked, it's like he threw it up and you thought, that's not going to be near anybody. Instead, you get the touchdown pass. I mean, he's playing with nobody. He's playing with the worst roster, arguably, in the NFL. And you could tell, even in the game that they beat the Jets and he got hurt, I mean, you see the athleticism, then he gets hurt, but just the entire boost he's given the team since he's played there. I mean, it's frustrating to know that it's just a couple of meaningless wins last year that's the difference, possibly, between having that for the Giants as opposed to having what we're back in the middle of. But a lot of things happen in the NFL this week. We'll go around it. We have all week to get to it. Obviously, the Cowboys are just awful. Dak hurts his hamstring. The Lions are looking like certainly the best team in the NFC as they just absolutely pounded the Packers. Might be the best team in football right now. That's how good they look. The Ravens bounce back after a tough loss and just pound Denver. Setting up a Thursday night as the Bengals did the same. Joe Burrow. Remember all the comparisons I had to Daniel Jones last week with Joe Burrow because he's lost a little bit? Yeah. Joe Burrow and Daniel Jones, they belong in the same conversation. When's the last time Daniel Jones threw five touchdown passes? I'll wait. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Christopher in Staten Island, what's up, Chris?
C-Mac, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, bro, I agree with everything that you were saying, man. But I am, like, so disgusted with the Giants, bro. Mm-hmm. With Shane, with Daboll.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. It's like I watched. They had the Hard Knocks, like, this and that. Like, I don't want these guys even coming back. I don't want them coming back. He drafted Deontay Banks, this kid.
Yeah.
He takes off plays.
Yeah.
Kayvon Thibodeau, he's a no-show.
Well, he's
Evan
hurt now.
Neal. He hasn't done anything, though.
He hasn't been worthy of the pick, the level of pick he got. But I agree with you. Ultimately, he's been a disappointment, but it's not like Evan Neal can't see the field. Evan Neal can't see the field. I mean, Thibodeau is a decent pass rusher in this league. He's not an elite pass rusher. He's not someone worth a top, six pick in this league, but he has been at least somewhat of a productive player, and he's injured now. I think they'll probably pick up his option. Like, that's the level of player he's been. But no, those two picks, to have two picks in the top eight picks, right? What was it, 5-7? I think that's what it was. To have two picks in the top 10 and to have them, neither of them, be major impact players is a disaster. It's a disaster. To have one that can't see the field is an absolute disaster. And then to have, neither of them really be big-time impact players is a out-and-out failure. I know those are supposed to be guarantees. Top 10 picks are supposed to be guarantees. You're not supposed to miss on those. You're supposed to, the mark of a true GM is what they do in the third and fourth and fifth round, helping build the roster. It's not supposed to be draft an offensive lineman who can't play. So listen, I understand. And ultimately, this draft pick, they found some good defensive players this draft. I mean, Shane did come into a strapped organization, but the drafts haven't been great. The team's not getting any better. They're regressing. I do think the first year of winning hurt them because they had to give Daniel Jones the contract. Like, I get it. If they move on from them, I get it. I do. But here's my selfish thinking and the way I'm thinking about it now. I almost want to make, I want them to stay, if it helps, do what they need to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the owner comes out and tells them, like, you're staying, don't worry about it, whatever happens next year, you know, I believe in you too, we're going to do this together, you told me this was going to be a hard thing, year one was a super positive thing, I'm like, we almost got to just throw that out, and we're rebuilding the last couple of years, I'm with you, I'm good. That would make it more likely that they do the right thing, trade away pieces, bench the quarterback, and, you know, not coach to lose, but take away their best options to win. That's what they need to do. And if they feel like they're coaching and GMing for their job and that they need to get to 6 wins to justify coming back, then they won't do those things. So as much as I think I'm not pleased with either of their jobs on any real level, I do think Dable can be a good head coach in this league. You know, right now, he's an offensive head coach whose offense is regressing under his play calling. Like, it's tough to just say, hey, he's good, he's great, I love him. But you could make a case to get rid of both of them. Of course you could, and I wouldn't argue with it, other than I don't want them treating this like they need wins for their jobs. I want them to be secure in their jobs so they'll go about doing the right thing and losing. And that sucks. That doesn't. I hate saying it. But that's what needs to happen. The best thing for this franchise right now is for the owner to go back there into their office and say, look, you two are staying. I don't care what you do. I believe in this. We got to figure out a way to get a quarterback or whatever. Because even now, Mara's got to understand that he's not the guy. Like, even John Mara, who loves Daniel Jones, has to understand he's not the guy, right? I mean, right? So go back there and just say, look, you guys have your jobs. Do what you need to do. Bench the quarterback because he can't get hurt. Trade everything that won't be a part of it next year and get as much draft capital as you can. I don't care. 5th-round picks, 6th-round picks, 7th-round picks, 6th- and 7th-round swap picks. I don't care. Everything that's not nailed down, move, play the lesser quarterbacks, and lose this damn game this week in Germany. This would be a huge loss against the Panthers. Let's go. I hate myself sometimes. I'm not happy about this at all in any way. James in Rockville Center. What's up, James?
Hey, Mac, how you doing? First time, long time. You're the best.
Oh, well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. What's going on?
Man, I'm just listening to people talk about how we're going to dump Cole, and I agree with you to the end. And we can't get rid of this guy, and, you know, we're going to have to pay this guy.
You're going to have to pay him. And like, to everybody, he'll never get that in free agency. He's not an idiot. I mean, and I know Boris had a bad year last year and misread the market a little bit. And didn't get Snell the contract he thought, didn't get Montgomery the contract he thought, didn't get Chapman the contract he thought, didn't get Bellinger the contract he thought. I mean, he had a miserable offseason. It doesn't mean he's stupid. And if they didn't think Gerrit Cole at 34 years old would get anywhere near the money he's making over the next 4 years, they wouldn't have opted out. Like, I think they expect coming off, now they could be dead wrong, but coming off a Cy Young Award year last year, pitching deep into the playoffs this year and pitching well for the Yankees, winning the clincher in the division, pitching well against Cleveland for the most part, and then pitching great in game one and really well if his defense did anything behind him in the fifth inning. That's a great pitching, a no-hitter against the Dodgers in the World Series. Like, I think considering his track record for being healthy and his track record for being an excellent starting pitcher, like, he's going to get a contract. So the idea that, oh, you can't give him that money, he's not going to get that contract, I think he is. I think he's going to get $30-plus million a year. So I think they need him. I think they have to go about signing him.
But are they really trying to say, oh, if we don't get Cole, we're getting Soto? Like, is that really what they're weighing their options?
Listen, if you eliminate $36 million off the books, it helps get Juan Soto. But I don't think it's a direct correlation. I really don't. I think there's a number that they won't go to, and if the Mets are going to go there, they're going to go there. Like, there's no, it's not like, okay, no Cole, $900 million. Like, I don't think that. So, I agree with you. The idea that, taking the $144 million over the next 4 years off the books at $36 million a year, getting rid of that money, I don't know if it helps get Juan Soto, but it helps get Juan Soto and still do more. But the more won't be as good as Gerrit Cole. Like, I do understand on some level. This time last year, it was already decided. Like, I knew what was going to happen. This time last year, Cole was going to opt out of his contract. The Yankees were going to pick up the added fifth year and nullify the opt-out. It was a foregone conclusion. I do admit, at least now, there are some reasons to at least take a step back. Like, we just saw a year where the bullpen became more prevalent than ever. It's been trending this way, but it really felt like this year was just like the stamp of starting pitching hardly matters during the regular season and then even into the postseason. Man, we saw a World Series team throw how many bullpen games in the playoffs? So we're seeing that. He did have an elbow injury for the first half of the season. He is 34 years old. He did, if you look at it, his strikeout numbers were down this year. Now, again, I don't put too much into the stock of his numbers this year because it was the same year he had the injury. Like, I would love to get a look at next year before I make this decision, but alas, that is not the situation. They have to make it now. But if you look at some of his numbers this year, his strikeouts were down. Some of the efficiency of his pitches were down. You know, he had his moments. Obviously, he had the moment where he was afraid of Devers, and that pissed me off. Like, there's a couple of things that happened this year that you could say, hey, does it really make sense? I do think at least the thought process is, and apparently, you know, the Yankees are thinking about it. They didn't make the decision right away. They're taking their full time. They have until 5 p.m. tonight to make that decision. There are some arguments. Like, if you got into a room with 10 people, a handful of them are going to give you reasons why they shouldn't pick it up. I mean, there is at least discussion now. But I don't think they have an option. I really don't. I think it's something they have to do. What does this rotation look like if not Cole? Because you can't tell me you know what you're going to get. You don't know you're going to go get Burns. You can't say, oh, we'll go get Burns. You have no idea. All they have to do, like, this year's payroll and what they were expecting to pay doesn't change. Like, the money's been on the books. The money's what they've been expecting. The money's on the books, man. All they're doing is adding one more year at the end of it. It's really not that big a deal. I don't know how they get around letting Cole walk, considering what he means to the team, considering the fact he's the de facto second pitching coach behind Blake, the fact that he was still throwing 98 miles an hour in his 105th pitch in the World Series. He's been the most reliable, dependable starter in baseball for the last 5 years. Like, it's just one of those things you can't get away from. They need him. They need him desperately. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back rapid fire style and take your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, talking mainly Yankees and Giants. We can get into the Jets. And we can get into the Mets, obviously. There's a second part to the Soto conversation. How much will Steve Cohen really be willing to go? Because the numbers sound like they're going to start with a 7, not a 6. Is Steve Cohen, namely, really going to give 14, 15 years of $50 million per? Are we looking at a $750 million player in Juan Soto? And again, Ron Darling, as someone mentioned earlier, has shown some trepidation. There have been people who think that's too much money for one player. The Mets do have a couple of holes to fill, but they also have young kids that they've been expecting to come up and supplement the great players like Juan Soto. I mean, to me, if you have Steve Cohen, this is the guy you go get. I mean, this is why he's there. He's not there for every single one. He's there for the big ones. And this is the one. This is the biggest one you could possibly imagine. And to steal him from the Yankees and set the tone for the franchise moving forward, I think it's something that Steve Cohen absolutely has to do. I don't think he has a choice. He has to go out there and be the top bidder for Juan Soto. What is that going to look like? And then if Ron Darling and other people suspect it maybe not be the best idea, how does David Stearns truly feel about it? I mean, I'm sure he loves great players, but this is a guy who's had the mid-market mindset a little bit, who's just taken bows for piecemealing a starting rotation together and getting this young, plucky team to the NLCS. You know, this is a move anyone could make. This is a Steve Cohen move. This is not a David Stearns move. This is a Steve Cohen move. Is this the kind of team Stearns wants? I think it's worth a question.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 447, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this early November day. Already in November. It happens so fast. Every year, before you know it, we already finishing up week 9 in the NFL. Tonight with Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Kansas City looking to stay undefeated. Tampa Bay obviously down big time with injuries at the wide receiver position with both Godwin and... Godwin and Evans, couldn't think of Evans' name for a second, I apologize. But yeah, so they're down big wide receivers there. Kansas City still has, I would expect this game to still be close. I mean, I know it's just what they do. They have trouble winning these big games. Whenever they have big spreads like this, and what was tonight, 7.5, 8? When they have big spreads like this, they very rarely cover. You get them as an underdog, you take Patrick Mahomes. You get them even as a short favorite, you take Patrick Mahomes. A big favorite, for whatever reason, has real trouble with it. And plus, this team itself has had some deficiencies offensively. He still has more interceptions than touchdowns, which is hard to fathom, despite the fact that they still have an undefeated season and look like that, until further notice, they're the team to beat in the NFL. And he's the guy who wins the big games. We certainly know it's not the Giants. We certainly know it hasn't been the Jets. We'll see how they do moving forward, as they did get a win to save their season. The Giants' season officially dead at 2-7. It was officially dead at 2-6, but even furthering the point, 2-7, it's over. The Jets did get a victory on Thursday, make it 3-6, and you start to at least see a path. Arizona did take Chicago out behind the woodshed and just get all over Williams, so... They're a tough team. This is not an easy victory to go on the road to Arizona and take care of business there, but it's a winnable game. Arizona's has been up and down. There's been games they don't show up. Coming off a blowout victory like that, I know it's Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. You wouldn't expect them to overlook the Jets necessarily, but they've had trouble putting really good performances back-to-back. So we'll see how the Jets handle Arizona on next week on Sunday. But ugly loss for the Jets. Still talking a lot about ugly loss for the Giants. Still talking a lot about the Yankees and what they'll do in free agency. A lot of talk on the 2-point conversions too with the New York Giants. That again, the only thing, you can hate the logic, you can love the logic, whatever you think of being down 14 late in the game when you score that first touchdown, going for two. It sets you up to win with an extra point on the second touchdown, or it gives you an opportunity to tie the game with the second 2-point conversion. They believe it's a 50-50 play. I think we all understand the logic. You can like it, you can not like it. What I don't like is everybody screaming that the Giants aren't good enough to take advantage of that logic, or that the logic doesn't apply to them because they're not good offensively. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Yes, they've been bad with 2-point conversions. 0-6, I believe, this year. So, I mean, that right there. Well, Chris, what are you talking about? They're 0-6. I get it. But the offense is so bad that if I think I can win with 2 touchdowns, and especially having no kicker. Like, they got a kicker they just picked up off the scrap heap. They've had a disaster at the kicker position all year long. You want to get it? You want to play for the tie and go into overtime or late game scenarios against Washington, who's got the most accurate kicker in the sport, a young quarterback who's led this team to a 6-2 at the time record, who walked off with a Hail Mary. Like, they've had a little bit of a special season going on. I don't want to play for that extra time. I don't want to play for overtime. I don't want to play for a tight game late. I want to try and win it in 2 touchdowns. I'm down 14, and this is the best option to give me a chance to win it with 2 touchdowns. And if you say, oh, well, just kick the extra point on the first one and then go for the 2-point conversion on the second one, which I don't think anyone would have had a problem with. Like, any Giant fan, we saw what happened in week 1 2 years ago. Like, if the Giants would have scored the first touchdown, kicked an extra point, Washington ultimately kicked the field goal in between. But say they didn't. The Giants come back, get the touchdown, and they're an extra point away from tying it late in the game, I don't think anybody would have quibbled with the idea of going for two and going for the victory, especially at 2-6, and especially with the kicker situation and all that. So if you had that in mind already, then it really makes no sense not to go for the two-point conversion first. If you go for the two-point conversion on the first try, then all you need is an extra point to win. If you're going to play for the two-point conversion to win the game anyway, why not do it on the first one and then leave yourself the safety net of at least having an opportunity to tie the game with the second two-point conversion? Because if you just go for it at the end of the game, you don't make it, you lose. This gives you an opportunity to win it with the first one and then save your bacon and possibly tie the game with the second one. So anyone, because I got a couple people, if you want to go for two-point conversions, just do it at the end of the game to win it. This is the same thing. It's going for it to win it, just doing it on the first touchdown. You can hate the logic, that's fine. But, that's analytics and it doesn't take into account how much the Giants suck. Well, if the Giants suck offensively, what are you playing for the tie for? They have the best kicker in the league. You have someone you just picked up off the scrap heap. You want to get into overtime with them? I want to win the game on two touchdowns. This gives me the best chance to do it. I really don't, the outrage is just because they lost and they suck. That's the outrage. The outrage is they don't draw up a good two-point conversion. They fail at everything. It's not the decision, it's the execution. And it's not about whether they're good enough or not. Like, oh, yeah, no, the offense stinks. So make them have a third scoring drive. That makes more sense. What's the likelihood of that? Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. Yeah, I'm good. Hey, listen, I love your intro. I don't know if you know your age and, I'm three times your age or whatever.
Yeah, well, I don't know about three Mac times my age.
Well, 2.5 anyway.
Well, I'm 40. I don't think you're 120. If you're 120.
Nah, that's true. I keep thinking you're like 28, right?
No. Nope.
40 now? Holy smokes.
I know. I'm a late bloomer.
I just turned 77, so I got a little bit.
Gotcha. You got a little bit on it.
Bobby Darin. Are you into Bobby Darin at all, or do you know him?
I don't know him personally. No, I mean, I'm aware of his music. I do like his music a little bit, and just I don't know Mac the Knife, Mac at Night. I don't know.
It's awesome.
I like to sing, and it kind of is in my tone wheelhouse, kind of. So I do it.
Well, real quick, he was supposed to be the next Sinatra, Dean Martin.
Yeah,
died at 37 years old, had rheumatic fever. Tremendous kid when he sang Mac the Knife. He was only 23. He was like a 40-year-old, but he was a 23-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it's when I think
that's
of
a
like
a good opening for you.
Well, thank you very much. But when I think of like people who did things at young age, like I'm 40, and to think that like every one of the Beatles were broken, the Beatles were broken up before any of them hit 30 is like crazy. You know, you're like, my God,
yeah, that's
they accomplished that's the entire, true. They accomplished being the Beatles, and all of them were 29 or younger. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they had their fortune, and most of them went on, except that a few died too young, but that's another story. And real quick, with the Giants, horrendous. Turning point is they get 8 first downs to 2. They're on the 30. They fumble. They give the ball back 60 yards downfield. Instead of getting 3, they're down 7. I thought the play at the half, and I'm sure it was discussed on your show, was egregious. Hal Banks is horrendous.
Yep.
I mentioned the other day we got two of the most overrated cornerbacks in the league between Sauce Gardner and Banks.
Yeah.
And the only thing that could happen at that point is like with 11 seconds to go, they have to throw it to the end zone. Anything short, it's not going to be enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And the play with when they called the pick was a good play because he didn't follow through to catch the ball. It looked like he was it's his blocking at that
on
point.
Slayton penalty that cost him a touchdown.
On the Slayton play,
yeah. I don't know. It was a little ticky tacky. And thank you for the call. Everything else I agree with. The play at the screen that sets up the second half, the end of the first half, and then the touchdown is a killer. And again, momentum to me, like we can complain about the two-point conversion and not getting it kills momentum. After that first touchdown, and yes, they fail on the two-point conversion. After that play, they kick the ball off. Washington's got a 3rd and 9. If they stop them on third and nine, they get the ball back, and no one's complaining about lack of momentum. They're right back on the field to go score another touchdown. Instead, they give up a 30-yard screen, a little flat, little thing across the middle to Eckler for 30 yards. That's what kills you. Like that, to me, that's where you want to talk about the biggest play of the game. To me, third and nine with an opportunity to stop them on their own 25 and get the ball right back after a touchdown, and you allow Eckler to run wide open in the middle of the field for 30 yards. That changed the whole complexion of the game. They go down and kick a field goal. It changes the whole complexion of the game. But yeah, they didn't handle the end of the first half very well defensively. That pick penalty was tough. But, you know, you can't make that kind of mistake. Give them the opportunity to make that call. The fumble from Jones is a killer play. The, you know, not calling the timeout. You can argue he mismanaged the end of the game by not calling timeouts before the two-minute warning. Like, there's a bunch of mistakes. A bunch of mistakes. They continually make them. You know, we don't have to go through, like, we can go through every play of the game, but the point is, I only have 3 hours, so I typically don't go through all the points of the game, but the point is they've lost this same way over and over again. Sometimes they get blown out 40-0 by the Cowboys, but a lot of the times they're in these games. Daniel Jones isn't the main reason they lose. He's playing just well enough to lose, but he makes the critical mistake like the fumble, or he can't make the big play down the sideline, or, you know, they just fall short. They make the critical mistake. They don't handle the situation. They obviously have had kicker issues this entire time. And the other thing is, like, what's happened to Neighbors? He's got nine catches for 59 yards. This guy before the injury was killing it, getting in the end zone, making big plays. It hasn't been the same since the concussion. And it's just, you know, they lose the same way, and I can't take it anymore. And that's why I'm done. This should be that should be the last game that Daniel Jones plays. Not because he gives them the best chance to win, or, you know, not because he doesn't give them the best chance to win, because he does. And because he's a tough son of a gun who takes on contact, and I'm afraid of him getting hurt. The trade deadline's approaching. Trade everyone you can. Bench the quarterback. And let's go about tanking this season, because it's the only thing that makes sense. Because nobody's going back. As we're watching Drake May make great plays to send the Patriots to the overtime, and we're watching Jaden Daniels lead the Washington team past those twice in a season for the third time in the last 20 years, nobody is going back on, hey, what a great win against the Packers last year. Man, remember when we beat the Patriots? None of us remember that. I'll see you again 2 a.m. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.